Psalm 139, verse 2, you know my sitting down and my rising up, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Well, sitting down and rising up is a metaphor for daily life. For example, Deuteronomy 6 says that you should talk about God's word to your children as you sit down and when you rise up. Not literally, whenever you sit down, you don't grab a Bible, and not every time when you rise up do you, as it were, recite part of God's law. The idea was that in daily life, they were to have God's law with them. And David says here, you know my sitting down and rising up. It is a metaphor for daily life. One of the problems with church life is that although it is good, and it's clear from the New Testament that it is intended that we should have church life, the problem is that it can result in thinking that life with God is all about going to meetings, and that outside of that, well, you just live pretty much like anybody else does. Whereas what God is essentially interested in is who you are when nobody's looking. And David realizes this when he says, you know my sitting down and my rising up, you perceive my thoughts from far away. So even before you have your thoughts, God knows them. Now, considering he does that with all of us, this is a huge amount of knowledge. He doesn't just know what you're thinking right now. He sees the thought that is going to be in your mind in 5 minutes, in 5 days, in 5 months, in 5 years. He sees it coming. And it just reflects, really, his huge interest in the human mind, in our thoughts, in our spirit, would be another way to put it. This is why to be spiritually minded is really the essence of spiritual life. And he realizes this here. David realizes this, and you know he's blown away with it, really. He says, verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. God looks very carefully into the path of life that we take. And the path of life, again, is daily life, the steps you take. And he sees that and thinks about it. He searches it out. Whereas we tend to let just life sort of just happen to us. Whereas God is actually going into it in great detail. We can tend to think that human behavior, human thought, is not particularly significant. That much of it is merely repetitious, that it goes on and on. But not at all. For God, this is different. That for God, he sees the huge significance of human thought and action, and traces out the path of it. His knowledge of us is far greater than our own self-knowledge, and when we do examine ourselves, we are actually simply following just a little bit in what he is doing. This is, I think, the sense of the proverb that says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, that when you look at yourself, well, you are actually only seeing a little bit of how God looks at you. That is the art of self-examination, to see your path from God's point of view. And we should not be wasting our time filling our minds with the nonsense of this world, but rather with the thoughts of God and knowing yourself. I don't mean navel-gazing in a negative sense, but all the same, examining yourself. What were my motives? Why did I do that? Because I was thinking of this, because I thought of that, because I watched a movie or read an article on the news or saw a video clip of this, that, or the other that may have been rather violent or something where people are very angry. Well, yes, that got me thinking that way. I don't want to do that. I want to think God's way and have his thoughts so that my actions will flow on from those thoughts. Verse 4, there is not a word on my tongue, but Yahweh, you know it completely. The idea of knowing a word completely, I think, indicates that God sees the real implication and import of words. Some people verbalize better than others, and they may come out with things that are not quite what they really think, or they may come out with something that sounds a bit lame when actually their heart is actually passionate for the things of God. God knows our words completely. And of course, people just judge each other by their words because that is all that we have to go on. But God looks at those words on our tongues and knows them completely, altogether. Verse 5, you hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand on me. That's the word for besieging. You're all around me, I'm surrounded. This is not to say that the law of God is a chain and that we are somehow constricted, but I think the idea is that you cannot move, think, or act outside of his knowledge, outside of his examination. And that is one of the ties that bind in life. That it's not that God is Big Brother, you know, watching your every move and analysing every little thing you say and do. But on the other hand, the extent of his knowledge is huge. As he says in verse 6, this knowledge is beyond me. It is huge. We do not quite perceive it. And yet, we act so often, of course, as if we can hide from God. And this is so foolish. The next verses, 7, 9, 11, all of them really, are so relevant to Jonah. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Jonah flees to Tarshish, thinking he can run away from God's presence. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle even in the uttermost parts of the sea. Well, yeah, Jonah went down into the depths of the sea. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, then the light around me will be night. And he talks about the darkness when he's in the belly of the great fish that God had created, and the darkness of being in the very deep of the ocean with seaweed, etc. around him. And yet, although Jonah actually quotes that psalm later on, it shows that he clearly knew it. He's an example of somebody who knew this huge knowledge and knew this psalm because he quotes it. And yet, in practice, he didn't. He thought he could actually run away from God. And this is the problem with us, that we know this psalm. We know this truth of God's huge knowledge of us. And yet, we think that, effectively, he does not see. And this is what Israel are criticized for, that you think that I don't see. Well, I'm sure they never actually said that. It was the implication of their position that God sort of is busy someplace else. He didn't actually see me. This knowledge of God is not, as I say, I don't think it should constrict us. He's not Big Brother. It is a comfort. That's the idea. But I think it is only a comfort to those who are heart and soul committed to loving God and wanting to go his way. And if you're not, well, I suppose it must have to feel a bit like Big Brother, because God knows everything. He's sifting through your thoughts, your motivations. He sees them coming. He sees your actions coming. He altogether, completely knows your words. If only we can get this sense of the presence of God and of the knowledge of God, which is related to his presence, I think that this helps us hugely in moment-by-moment spirituality. Now, to get the sense of the presence of God is not so easy if you're just trying to imagine some sort of aura, some sort of metaphysical buzz that, oh, he's in the room. But I think if you approach it from the perspective we have here, that God, well, he knows absolutely everything. That sense of his absolute knowledge, his complete mental, physical, visual knowledge of me, this does lead you to a sense of his presence, that he is absolutely present through that knowledge.